Bill Maher from Bill Maher's Real Time with Bill Maher Friday night. Now, I was amazed, and we started getting wind of this Friday afternoon, that he decided to dedicate his entire new rules segment pretty much to talk about Canada and describe it as a cautionary tale and a road the United States shouldn't go down. Now, it was about 8 minutes long. I can't possibly give you the 8 minutes. I'll tell you at least 3.5 of the 4 minutes were old stuff, flawed arguments. I get it when an American criticizes Canada's healthcare system, but he was doing it based on data points and stats. He's right about our healthcare system being a disaster right now. It doesn't mean we want America's, although many Americans get quicker service, better choice, and are starting to, the United States is starting to finish higher than Canada in many metrics when it comes to wait times, surgeries, and obviously screenings, which we're way, way behind on because of COVID restrictions. Here's some of Bill Maher talking about Canada. I'm going to run it past Eric Kam, economics professor, in just a minute or two.
There's only one problem with thinking everything's better in Canada. It's not. Not anymore, anyway. Last year, Canada added 1.3 million people, which is a lot in 1 year, the equivalent of the U.S. adding 11 million migrants in 1 year. And now they're experiencing a housing crisis even worse than ours. And we're sleeping in tents. The median price of a home here is 346 grand. In Canada, converted to U.S. dollars, it's 487. If Barbie moved to Winnipeg, she wouldn't be able to afford her dream house, and Ken would be working at Tim Hortons. And because of mortgage debt, Canada has the highest debt-to-GDP ratio of any G7 nation. I don't know what that means, but it sounds bad.
It does sound bad. And then there's crime issues, and there's immigration issues, and a lack of infrastructure issues, and on and on and on. Some of the stuff was, again, old bits. He gave about 2 minutes to Kayla Lemieux, the teacher that was in costume for most of last year, who's now Carrie, a man. And it's just sort of old. It was relevant, certainly, a year ago. But it's not like this is happening all over the place. And there's five or six Kayla Lemieux in every single school board. There isn't. Eric Kam's economics professor for Toronto Metropolitan University. You watched the Bill Maher new rules. What did you think? Is some of it valid and some of it not when it comes to Canadian criticism, Eric?
I think that you mentioned Saturday Night Live a lot, and he was starting to sound like the grumpy old man character from about 25 years ago. Some of the criticism was true, but it was also low-hanging fruit. I mean, it doesn't take much to come after our healthcare system and our housing affordability crisis, and so he did. I think what bothered me about it, I mean, I laughed at parts, but... Yeah. What bothered me about it was there's an expression in economics, ceteris paribus, all things remaining equal. The United States isn't Canada. Canada isn't the United States in many ways. And so what he was almost implying was these two countries are identical and look how much better we're doing. But guess what? They're not identical. They're very different. And so many underlying infrastructure factors make the countries very distinct, and they can't do there what we do. We can't do here what they do. And he was kind of doing a one size fits all, which is just kind of incorrect.
Yeah, I think there are things that have stayed similar. I think people talk more about secure borders. I think we just had three cops in Toronto attacked last week. Friday was a rather gruesome stabbing of a cop in the leg. He's going to survive, but he's a 22-year-old kid, basically, with 1 year on the force. So not every problem ends up being the same. But I thought it was, again, like we tend to love it when Americans talk about us and give us attention. But I saw a lot of people going, yeah, he's right. And yeah, he should shut up. That was sort of the lines of demarcation there.
My line of demarcation is even more simple than that. He took a shot at the country, but, you know, he's a comedian. He's paid to have people watch his show and laugh. And if he was successful in that, that's great. Do I think he's an expert on Canada and his opinion on our country should be taken seriously? Not more than any other stand-up comic, no. Mm.
Federal budget tomorrow. This number came from CBC yesterday. The federal spending commitments from the Liberal government just in the last month or so, and most of them are housing, Eric, tally $21 billion. We have an existing $25 billion deficit. We've lost some revenue due to tax incentives, OAS payments skyrocketing. A lot of people are starting to wonder if our taxes are going up on Tuesday during the budget tomorrow. What do you think?
I don't know how they can't, because the government has come out and said that they're not going to play with the debt or the deficit. And as I always teach my students in economics, something's got to give. And so if you're going to offer all of these spending increases, and by the way, I think this is going to be budget light. I think the real punch is coming next year before the election. So saying that, I think that they're going to look at one word, affordability. I think they're going to say that word a lot. And of course, affordability means pharmacare and housing. And so I think they're going to come at those two things hard and say, it is time to increase the affordability of your life. I think they're going to take a shot at the private sector and say, listen, it's not growing the way we thought it was going to, so we have to fill in the gap. That's what government is meant to do, and that's a debatable statement. But if they're going to hold the line on the debt and the deficit, the only other way to raise revenue is to raise taxes. And so, yeah, it scares me, but I think that it's going to be a rather simple, for lack of a better word, budget. I think it's going to be about housing. It's going to be about pharmacare. It's going to be about them saying, stick around. It's only going to get better. But I don't think they're going to be so honest about how we're going to pay for that.
I've seen a lot of the comments, and there's a chart. Anybody could find a chart about public sector workers being hired. But I would make the point, with a growing population, a nurse is a public sector worker. A teacher is a public sector worker. They're not all diplomats, and MPs and MPPs' offices haven't swelled to you know, four or five times what they used to be. When you see charts involving public sector workers, do you say, yeah, I get some of it, but not other parts of it?
Well, I do get some of it. I mean, there's not a question right now that our public sector is a little bit bloated. All you have to do is look at the salary increases for universities and hospitals, all the new senior administrators. I mean, there's been so much growth at the top of the pyramid. It's hard for people to look at it any other way and not complain. But, you know, I say on your show, and I say all the time, that one of the real problems here is that in our economy, the only sector that's been growing is the public sector. And people can say, well, that's okay. At least something's growing, but it's not okay, because the public sector isn't infrastructure, and the public sector isn't a growth strategy, just like I don't think immigration can be. So when I see those numbers, I see a government kind of throwing up a proverbial Hail Mary and saying, we have got to do something to stimulate the private sector of this economy. It can't just be our sector that's growing. And unfortunately for Canada, for the last few years, if you took out public sector growth, there'd be zero growth.
Yeah, greatly concerning. Any twists and turns? I got about 40 seconds. Any twists and turns you expect tomorrow in the budget?
No, I really don't, except for one. I think that you're going to finally see the clean energy mission, the zero tolerance policy, or whatever they call it today. I think that's going to take a firm back seat. And I don't think the government's going to stand up and say that. But I think that in doing so, in talking about housing, pharmacare, affordability, all the good watchwords, I think it might be the Trudeau government's way of finally admitting, we better worry more about people that are one paycheck away from insolvency than we can about getting our air to its maximum cleanliness in a country, Greg, that generates very little pollution worldwide.
Yeah. I'm not sure how you'd walk around Toronto and start screaming in people's faces, we're in a climate emergency right now, when it rained all weekend and it's 6 degrees right now. You're not going to get people who are living paycheck to paycheck to give an ounce more consideration about this at this point in time. Eric, I got to leave it there. Thanks so much.
Stay healthy, Greg.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment, going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains, made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.